Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Have you ever been in a bad breakup?
When people would ask me how we got together or how we fell in love, my easiest answer to that was his kisses.
Have you had your heart broken?
I loved him. He was the funniest, sweetest man I'd ever met. He made me so happy. We laughed all the time. And despite his size, I adored him.
This week on Storyworthy, comedian Lana Turner talks about what it's like being married to an addict and the recent breakup of her marriage.
I always thought that he would lose the weight. He promised me he would. And I just sometimes wonder what it all could have been like.
Coming up in just a moment, Lana Turner shares her story, the breakup. Stay close. Did I ever tell you guys that I'm a lousy cook? Well, guess what? That's changing because now there's HelloFresh. HelloFresh is the meal kit delivery service that makes cooking fun, easy, and super convenient. Each week, HelloFresh creates new delicious recipes with step-by-step instructions designed to take around 30 minutes for everyone from novices to seasoned home cooks short on time. And not only does it save you time on your weekly shop, it helps you discover how easy and delicious cooking can really be. Like, I love cooking with my friends. I mean, it's a nice way to spend time with people and catch up. And right now, you can get 25 pounds off your first box. Visit HelloFresh.co.uk and enter the promo code STORY. HelloFresh.co.uk and enter the promo code STORY. Happy cooking, you guys. Okay, I think I've said this before, but the hardest part for me about cooking is the shopping. Like, I can't find what I need in the store, and I don't have time to figure it all out. I get frustrated. But now there's HelloFresh. HelloFresh is a meal kit delivery service that partners with sustainable farms, fisheries, and butchers to bring you all the ingredients you need to create incredible meals every week. Now, recently, I made shrimp and lemon risotto with roasted zucchini and parmesan, and it was fantastic. I mean, both my daughter, Alabama, and I loved it. And by the way, she cannot believe that I'm actually cooking these meals. I tell her to come in the kitchen and watch me. It's happening, and it's really easy, you guys. The recipes all have step-by-step instructions, and my meals come out looking just like the picture. I mean, it's amazing. And right now, you can get 25 pounds off your first box. Visit HelloFresh.co.uk and enter the promo code STORY. HelloFresh.co.uk and enter the promo code STORY. Have fun with it, you guys.
Hey guys, it's Lana Turner. Check out my new visual album called Limeade, and you are listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Los Angeles, California. Now, I am so glad you guys tuned in today. Whether you're a longtime fan of the show or a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. Now, I hope you guys had a chance to listen to last week's episode with Craig Shoemaker called Narcissistic Personality Disorder. It's a really personal story, and you don't want to miss it. So go back and listen to Craig Shoemaker talk about Narcissistic Personality Disorder. He's got members of his own family that have this, and the story is just riveting. But today, you guys, we have the fabulous Lana Turner on the show. Now, Lana Turner is a comedian and a musician, and she's just a powerhouse. I met her a couple of weeks ago at the Improv, and then I just watched this new comedy visual music album that she did called Limeade, and I was just absolutely transfixed. It's just a fabulous video. I really want you guys to check it out. But today she's here and she's talking about the breakup. The breakup. We've all been there. I just recently went through a breakup myself, and never pleasant, never easy. But it's funny because if you know it's the right thing to do, you just have to push forward. You know, if you have any integrity for yourself, you can't just stay with somebody because they want you to. You know, it's hard. It's hard being dumped, and it's hard being the dumpy, as it were. But when it comes to breaking up with a marriage, it's just all the more difficult, especially if there's children involved. I mean, it can take years. So it's like, you know, my first husband, he got another girl pregnant. And so that was kind of like, we're done here. It was a deal breaker. And I was 25, you know, so I knew I was young. But then when my second marriage broke up, I was 45. And that's, you know, that's a whole different place to be. So, you know, it's never easy. And I know our guest today, Lana Turner, she is dead in the middle of this breakup. And it's really difficult. So we're going to hear from her. We're going to hear about her story. And I'm really, really glad she came. This is really an honor to have Lana here with me. Before I bring Lana on, I did want to remind you guys to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Storyworthy. And why not head over to storyworthypodcast.com and check out my website and then join my mailing list. It's fun. I email you once a week. We have a little thing going back and forth. It's very personal. It's just me and you. Come on, join my mailing list. Oh, also check this out, you guys. All this month, we're asking you to tell a friend about a podcast that you know they'll love. Right now, think of a friend or your mom, your coworker, or anyone you care about. What podcast would they really love? Got it? Now do it. Tell them about it in real life, call them up, or tell them via social media. And if they don't know about podcasts, show them how. Remind them that they're free and they're right there on their phone. And then tell us what you recommended with the hashtag TryPod, TryPod, for Try a Podcast. This is a really good opportunity for you guys to share Storyworthy with somebody that you know. And if it's not my podcast, do it with another show. So remember, tell your family, tell your friends, and use the hashtag TryPod and let me know what you recommended. All right, you guys, Lana Turner's here right now. And like I said, she's a comedian and a musician, and she's the host of the very popular Perfect 10 podcast. Now, Lana just released her first comedy visual music album, Limeade, like I mentioned. It's a comedic homage to Beyoncé's Lemonade. And Lana wrote all the songs, she plays all the music, and let me tell you guys, once you start watching, you cannot look away. It's passionate, it's honest, heartbreaking, and clever. Oh, and also, it's really funny. And you can watch it right now, absolutely free, at lanaturner.com. You can also follow Lana on Twitter, at Lana Turner. All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for the lovely, the wonderful Lana Turner.
So I want to preface this story by saying that I've never really considered myself a religious or spiritual person, but I'm fascinated by the idea of two roads and how we can change the course of our life so much in just a second. Like, the way I got into comedy, I had a car wreck and it completely changed everything. This most tiny thing that's within your control, without of your control. Somebody you meet, somebody who says yes. Anyhow, this story kind of harkens all the way back to my passion for cats. I had a cat for 21 years. His name was Mr. Whiskers. I loved this cat more than anything in my life. And my cat hated any boyfriend I ever brought home, except for my husband, Ralphie May. He's a comedian. And the way that Ralphie wooed my cat was that he showed up at my house with bacon in his pocket. He didn't tell me this until years later, but I could never figure out why Whiskers took to Ralphie so well. And I think it's hilarious that a fat man showed up at my apartment with bacon in his pocket. It wasn't just that he always carried bacon around. He just really knew that if he got to the cat, he got to the girl. And I have to say that I never thought I would date Ralphie. He was about 800 pounds when I met him. Ralphie's a beautiful person who I fell in love with 18 years ago. He's smart, he's funny, he's talented. And I found him to be incredibly handsome too. He just was overweight. And I never saw him staying that way forever. I always believed he would lose the weight. I loved him. He was the funniest, sweetest man I'd ever met. He made me so happy. We laughed all the time. And despite his size, I adored him. I always thought that he would lose the weight. He promised me he would. He himself didn't want to be his weight. I can't imagine what it's like to be trapped under all that weight. I used to think about it all the time, that if I was sitting on a couch and somebody walked into the room and placed 300 pounds on top of me and said, I'm going out for a few hours, handed me the remote control and said, have a nice day, how that would affect me. I would be so depressed and miserable within a few hours. I can't even explain it. So I would often think about that and I would feel bad because to see this man that I loved so much to be so trapped, it just hurt my heart. When people would ask me how we got together or how we fell in love, my easiest answer to that was his kisses. When we kissed, it was magical. from the first time to the last time. We used to kiss in doorways, and there was something just really special. Our first kiss was in a doorway, and our last kiss was in a doorway. Ralphie filed for divorce over a year ago. I understand why now. At first, I was floored, because why would a man want a divorce when somebody loves them so much? But I was hard on him. I know this because I wanted him to get well. I wanted him to lose the weight. I wanted him to get better. And there was a reason for this, and we both know it. About 6 years ago, he had pulmonary embolisms. He had two types of pneumonia and was hospitalized in Tampa, Florida. I showed up in the hospital and his feet were blue and his fingers were blue. He was so sick. They stabilized him in the emergency room and moved him up to the ICU unit, where I was standing with him and we were laughing and joking because he looked well. He looked like he was going to be okay. When all of a sudden, all of the lights on the panels behind him started going crazy and the beeping, and he lost his breath. His pupils dilated, and I knew he had seconds away from death. There was a pulmonologist who ran into the room who stabilized him that night, and 6 days later, he was able to be downgraded from the ICU unit to the regular hospital, and then he was out. It was a 9-day stay. And the only other time I've ever seen anybody's eyes do what my husband's eyes did that day was the day I held my cat when he died. My cat was 21 years old, and I held him in my arms, and his pupils did the exact same thing, only within seconds he was gone. We buried my cat and my baby blanket that very day. 2 weeks after my cat passed, there was a fire, and I moved to LA with zero possessions. When I came to LA, Ralphie had adopted a dog. We named that dog Pimp because we lived on the Sunset Strip where there was a lot of prostitutes, and we got Pimp a collar. It said, "That bitch better have my money." I was a cat person. I was not going to fall in love with a dog, and I was not ready to love any other animal after having lost my Mr. Whiskers. But within a very short period of time, I fell in love with Pimp and fell in love with dogs. Pimp became my dog. I was Pimp's human. I would take him up Runyon Canyon and hike with him all over, and I just loved that dog so much. A few years later, we adopted Hoochie Mama. She was an English bulldog, fat, lazy, fucked up teeth. She was a beautiful little girl, but she was Ralphie's dog, more so than mine. But both animals passed a few years ago, but they got to see so many changes in our lives, including my children being born. I've got two kids, a little girl and a little boy. And I like to say that the dogs taught the children an important lesson about life and death. And my joke to that was that the kids were there when Pimpy passed away. And this isn't true, but the joke is that I would look at my kids right then and say, "You see what happens when you wet the bed?" Anyhow, Hoochie Mama got to be licensed as a service animal, which was hilarious because she was a fat English bulldog who could barely walk across the room. So she was allowed to fly on airplanes. I would push her in a stroller up to the gate of the airplane, and then we would physically carry her down the aisle wearing her service animal vest while she would be like snoring. And this is hilarious because she was such a funny little dog. But we got her licensed because there's this organization called Big Paws who we were doing a lot of charity work for, and they get dogs for men and women with post-traumatic stress syndrome after they've gotten out of the military. They're a great organization, and we've done a lot of work for them, and they've just been lovely to us. Anyhow, I started calling it Two Roads to Charlie, because what happened was my sweet husband and I were really having a hard time getting along. We were fighting a lot about his health, and he wasn't getting out of bed. It was just a really, really bad situation overall. I will never not love him. I just don't have that in me. But it was bad. A lot of bad things were happening. And I had to leave him and get the children home to LA. And he went back to Nashville and filed for divorce. Hoochie Mama passed away after the divorce was filed. We struggled for many, many months to try and keep the relationship on the rails and keep the marriage together even after he'd filed. And I returned my filing and we went back and forth. And it was so hard. But eventually, it just kept moving forward. And it's a solitary life to be a comedian on the road. Ralphie doesn't have a lot of people in his life that don't have some sort of financial gain. He doesn't speak to his family. He and I don't talk anymore. And anyhow, very short period of time after Hoochie Mama passed, I saw on social media he'd adopted another bulldog that looked a lot like Hoochie Mama. And it broke my heart because I immediately thought, my God, you replaced Hoochie so quickly. How fast will you replace me? And sadly, within a few weeks, he'd also replaced me with a girlfriend. Anyhow, neither relationship lasted long. This bulldog, Charlie, was a rescue, and they put it on the tour bus with them. And not knowing the dog's disposition, he attacked everyone on the bus, including Ralphie, bit his foot and apparently chipped a bone in his foot. And it was a sad situation all around. And I guess they relocated the dog and found it a new home. So Charlie was no more. A few months after that, my kids were really wanting another animal. And I contacted Big Paws and I said, do you guys just have a referral for what kind of breed you might recommend? And that was pretty much the end of the conversation. I forgot about it until a few months after that, I got a phone call. Hey, we've got a great dog for you. She's a service animal. We want you to take her. She doesn't have anybody currently who can take her in. We don't have a vet with PTSD. So maybe you guys would benefit from her. Let's see how it goes. And this dog showed up and her name was Charlie. And it floored me. Her name was Charlie because it was Charlie Mike is a military term for continue mission. And it stuck with me because it kind of spoke to me and that I should continue along the path that we're on and see it through. But it blew my mind that it was named Charlie. And I couldn't help but wonder if this wasn't supposed to be Ralphie's dog. And in fact, I believe fully that Ralphie was supposed to get well. He was supposed to take the path to this Charlie. Had he done that, our lives would have been so different. He has a stay at a casino right now. If you get an opportunity, go see him at Harrah's because he's really, really funny and he'll make you laugh and he's amazingly talented. But he could be in and out of LA and he could have this service dog named Charlie and Ralphie's got post-traumatic stress syndrome and Charlie was intended for him. I just know it. But a few months went past with us having Charlie and Charlie's time with us also ended because she was found an appropriate family with an appropriate condition for her service. And so we don't have Charlie and Ralphie doesn't have Charlie. And I just sometimes wonder what it all could have been like. You know, it just seemed all too coincidental. And like I said, I'm not a spiritual person, but it does help me sometimes to think these things through in that way. It makes me think that everything kind of happens for a reason. So now I don't have a dog named Charlie. He didn't end up with Charlie. We're both kind of moving on in our lives in different directions. And I think I'm going to get a cat, but I'm not going to name it Charlie.
Okay, so that story, Lana, was so honest and so personal, but I'm hearing you say it. And my question is, what do you think he wants?
You know, that comes down to communication, I guess. I don't know anymore.
But so can you talk to him now?
No.
There's no talking?
No.
Does he talk to the children?
I can't talk about that either because I don't want to hurt his heart.
Okay.
But I mean, it's really hard right now. The kids are here.
It just seems like, okay, so like my first marriage ended because my ex-husband wanted to fuck another girl. And he did. And he got her pregnant.
It was very clear.
So it was very clear, you know, that marriage was over. My second marriage ended because my husband didn't want to sleep with me. So, I mean, that didn't work out either. So what do you think Ralphie wanted you to do or be?
I'm not sure anymore. I mean, in hindsight, maybe leave him alone. I mean, and that's ultimately what he got. Like, I mean, I'm just speculating here. You'd have to ask him. I mean, I was a beast about his health. I was nonstop. I mean, honestly, Christine, like I wanted, after watching somebody you love get so close to the edge like that, and then the 11 hospitalizations and rehabs that we went through that followed in the 5 years after that, I just couldn't sit idle and not try, which is foolish, because in hindsight, you can't want anybody else to do anything or change anything about anybody else.
But it wasn't so much about his weight. It was about his health, right?
And it was about our children.
I mean, you want them to have a father.
Yeah.
So this makes sense that you, however, you know, okay, you know, one time somebody said to me, if you don't want to be married to somebody who's a smoker, then don't date somebody that smokes cigarettes, you know? So, like, what if somebody would say to you, Lana, if you don't want to have to beg your husband to get healthy, then don't fall in love with someone unhealthy.
You know, and that's really, really true. He asked me to marry him 57 times, I believe.
57?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
He asked me to marry him every month for like 6 years or something crazy. And every month I'd give him the same answer, which is, I want to be with somebody who wants to be around with me forever. I want you to be healthy. And the last time that he proposed, he said, I got gutted like a catfish, because he had a gastric bypass surgery. If that's not indication that I want to be healthy and be with you forever, I don't know what is. And so he had lost a good chunk of weight after having bypass surgery. And so I believed that he wanted to get rid of the rest of it too.
But how does that reverse itself? Because I thought if you had that surgery, like you're incapable of, because they like staple your stomach shut.
Well, I mean, he lost a lot of weight and kept that chunk off, but he was very, very big when he had the first procedure. So, I mean, at some point you have to take the ball and run with it. It's not just, you know, cutting off a piece of your stomach. You have to heal all the way around it.
So it was literally the intake of food or lack of exercise?
I don't see him eat like all of the time. I would see evidence of it, but I mean, he wasn't.
You had dinner.
Yeah, I mean, there was definitely like times that I saw him eat, and I mean, it just, but it's a very private disease.
But when you have a regular meal, you know, with your children and your husband, it's like breakfast or lunch or dinner, he eats, right?
Yeah, I mean, or not at all sometimes. Sometimes he would go without eating.
Yeah, eating is such a personal thing. The other extreme being anorexia. You know, it's like we have so much power in what we put in our mouths.
It's a morbid disease. It's called morbidly obese. There's no other disease that's morbid. You could be terminally cancer,
that's right,
but not morbidly cancer,
yeah.
Right? So there's no positive outcome to obesity.
It's interesting. Is there the word terminally obese?
I don't think so, but I mean,
I don't think I've ever heard that.
Well, the conditions you get from obesity are terminal. Right? Like you'll get heart disease or you'll get diabetes or other things that will eventually kill you. But obesity is going to drastically shorten your life. And there were other things too. I mean, it wasn't just the eating. It was a plethora of stuff. I mean, after the hospitalization, he went to rehab. He went to, you know, he tried, there were things, but it wasn't his choice to go to rehab. It was my choice to put him in rehab.
Boy, that says a lot, huh?
Yeah. And in hindsight, I realized that. Like I was very adamant that he get well. I mean, I loved him. That's why. But I mean, there was a lot of details to the story.
But do you ever look back and think like, man, I should have just, what? You know, like if I had only just done this, then we would still be together. We would still be together and not have all this drama.
I couldn't have done what I needed to do to keep the relationship together, which is to be.
Yeah, complacent or do nothing.
Yeah, sit back. Like look, he's got a lot of people in his life that are perfectly willing to sit there and eat off the, literally they're eating off the fat of the cow. Like yeah. They're going to sit there. They're going to.
Yeah, because he pays them.
Well, the life is good, right? Like there's a lot of income there. There's a lot of, you know.
Yeah, you have assistants, you have transportation people.
People, there's like all kinds of things that go on. And I mean, that's a good, easy path, but that's not a loving path. That's not sustainable.
And how long were you together total?
17 years.
That's a long time, Lana.
Yeah.
17 years is not going to undo itself in a year or 2 years.
Yeah, no.
But boy, I want him to get healthy so bad. He's such a brilliant comedian.
A brilliant comedian, and he's not a bad person.
Now, I dated a comedian who also tours, and it was a lonely life for him. I mean, he spent a tremendous amount of time alone.
Yeah, look, I love the road. I love working as a comedian. I love getting out and telling jokes, you know.
Yeah, of course. But I mean, like the hotels and stuff, you know, at the end of the day, if you're on stage alone, you're probably also in your hotel alone. It's like a lot of trudging around, carrying your bags, waiting in line.
There's all different ways of doing it, right?
I remember a couple years ago, Lisa Loeb was in front of me at the airport, like at the counter. And I thought, Look at that. Lisa Loeb has to drag all her shit around too, you know? Like, we all have to carry around our shit. No one gets out of this. So if you're alone and you're traveling, like whether you're a musician or a comic, I'm sure it can be very lonely.
It's a different life. But I mean, it's a life that comes with a lot of great blessings too. So there's all different ways of doing things in life. I mean, come on, we're not tarring roofs. We're not begging in the streets of India.
No. You better believe it. I mean, we're not digging ditches over here. And frankly, Lana, you and I are white and we're from this country, so we're way ahead. Let's talk about Limeade, your video, your movie. I mean, it is so passionate. Now, when I looked at it, I thought automatically, this is a 30-minute music video. But then it's more than that. I mean, it's just fabulous, Lana. You have some incredible shots of downtown LA. Your DP did a great job, whoever shot it for you. Your wardrobe is fantastic. There's so many great things about it. And I told you earlier that it reminded me of the passion of a Christina Perry video, you know, because she has that same burning thing in her that just comes out when she sings. And you have that, Lana. All right, let's hear about it.
Well, I got very lucky. Again, you never know where your road's going to lead you, right? So this opportunity of even recording the music came about. Norman Arnold, who produced the music, is this phenomenal, amazing musician.
How'd you meet him?
He's a friend, and he was one of the former heads of Warner Brother Record Music Division. He's amazing, and he'd taken, He wasn't working there when I approached him. And you ever walk up to somebody and you say, hey, would you ever be interested in doing XYZ, expecting them to say no?
Yeah.
I said, would you be interested in recording a music album for me? A comedy music album? And he said, yes. And as he said it, I was like, all right, I'm glad I asked, but thanks for, you know. And then then it clicked. He said, yes.
But how did you meet him to begin with?
So he's a friend of mine through our kids in the school. And
Yeah,
the club we go to and stuff. So I got really lucky there.
Well, I am so happy you asked, because so many people don't take that initiative, you know, just to walk up to somebody. I get scared all the time. I mean, I push through it, but it's hard. It's uncomfortable.
I learned a long time ago that what's the worst that can happen? Yes. He's going to say no. And I expected him to say no. Yes. So I just, why not?
Well, good for you. And also, you know, it's just words. Like, I say that to my daughter all the time. I say, honey, it's just a sentence. It's just words. Like, just say, can you help me with this problem? Or can you give me assistance?
You know what? Again, the paths, right? Norman's road completely changed when he said yes, which is another great lesson for people. You know, we should all say yes more often, because you never know where that journey is going to take you. Because Norman now and I now are fully invested in this project together, and we're working on other projects together. And it's just become this much bigger, more beautiful thing.
So when you sat down to write Limeade, did you write the 10 songs first? Did you have the visual first? Because you guys, if you go to LanaTurner.com, you'll see Limeade. You'll see the video. It's right there on the front page. And there are multiple locations and there are multiple people in the film. I mean, it's a movie.
It's a full movie.
It's a movie.
It's the if I'd had to have paid for this thing, the budget would have been probably over $250,000.
This was all done on favors.
Again, the road to how the fuck did this happen for me?
Really, yeah.
Yeah, and never, you know, and had I stayed, had that explosion not happened in my life with the divorce, I would have still been in this really tough situation of a marriage, probably with somebody who did not want to change. And a year later, I would be in the same place. And so I'm kind of grateful to...
You have to walk through the fire to get to the other side, man. There's just no easy path, though, you know?
It's tough, man.
Because love is so tricky. Of course, a breakup is going to be tricky. So it's just difficult. Even if you don't love the person, or like my first husband that got that other girl pregnant.
Right. You're like, you got her pregnant. We're over.
I mean, obviously, that's a deal breaker. But do you know how much fucking pain I was in? I mean, I still remember it. It's just sick. Put you in a tailspin.
Oh, it's a huge betrayal of your trust.
Also, I was 12 years younger than my ex-husband, and the girl he left me for was 16 years younger. So they'll always go younger. Yeah, that's the other thing I realized. But you know what? It sounds like maybe he will. Like, maybe he will take all of this in, and maybe, you know, maybe he'll make positive changes in his life. Maybe not for you or for his children, but maybe for himself, and then that will somehow translate into him being, you know, healthier and wanting to see his kids, spending more time with them. And then that would help you. I mean, all of this can change.
I mean, I'll never give up hope that you know, but it's not my problem anymore.
Yeah.
Wow. It is still, but not exactly. It's not in my constant, you know, line of vision.
Is there something you could put on paper? I mean, I guess you've tried this, like, but it's like, Ralphie, what do you want? And then we can just close this deal. So both of you guys can just get this behind you. Like, Ralphie, what do you want? What are you looking for?
You mean to end the actual divorce? That'll come. No divorce goes on forever.
Yeah, but it can take a long time.
Yeah, but eventually it will end. Yeah. It has to, eventually. I'm just waiting for it to end.
Okay, so the next album, do you have more songs in you now?
Well, okay, so you asked originally about the songs that are on there. Some of them I had written actually before the divorce, and they were able to be tied into the concept of the album. And then the others I wrote leading up and during, and there was you can kind of tell which ones were in which parts. But the movie was produced completely separate. So we finished the album, and then nowadays people just don't download music and purchase music like they used to. So the idea for me is that I want draw, because I'm a great comedian that nobody really knows about. So when I show up in a town, I want people to come and see me.
Yes.
And so in order to make that happen, I have to create this draw out of nothing. Right. So I thought...
Produce content.
So I thought, well, why don't I make some music videos? And I started the process of doing that. And a friend of mine, Joey G, another man who completely changed my life, who I met years ago while performing at a gig in Naples, Florida area. Mm-hmm. He was a server and a comedian, and we became friends. And you never know who you're going to meet in your life who could completely change your life years later. That's another part about your journey in life. I bumped into Joey, I think when my daughter was barely born.
Wow.
And now he's one of the biggest parts of my life. So it just kind of happened where he was looking to produce some shows, and he had gone to Full Sail University and was looking to create some content for himself. Mm-hmm. And he asked me, do you have any movies that you want to produce a feature? And I said, well, I don't have anything written, but I have a concept for a full-length feature. Pitched it to him. He loved it. I wrote the script. We were going to shoot it last summer. We got some financing together. Financing fell through. I was scheduled to be in Florida anyways. I said, well, you know, I'm going to be there. Do you want to shoot a couple music videos? He said, let me make a few calls. He called his professor from Full Sail, Carl Verna. And Carl said, yes,
wow.
Let's shoot videos this summer. Let's shoot it. And it was pitched as a visual album called Limeade. I met with Carl. I wrote out the script. Joey helped facilitate everything. We read through it together. We made it perfect. And we shot it. And they are phenomenal.
It is stunning. It really is.
Full Sail University it was funny because I dragged a camera with me to Florida because I have a camera.
Yeah.
And I thought, I just could not believe what I was going to get. When Joey was telling me the production that he was going to provide, I thought it was bullshit. When you hear students shooting a summer project, I was thinking it's going to be some kids with like a camera on a tripod, you know, like fumbling around. All right, we'll get what we get and I'll post some funny videos and they'll get like, you know, 30 hits or something.
Yeah.
So I show up at Full Sail and we have a back lot. We have a sound stage. We shoot for 6 days. Three of the videos were actually shot in LA. There's one that isn't, it's just one of the songs they just run credits to. So yeah, it was 6 videos shot in Full Sail. And all the in-between stuff, all the poetry in the void, which is
beautiful.
The poetry is meant to kind of emulate how serious a, you know, a visual album can be, because mm-hmm. Lemonade is so serious. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it came together. It totally exceeded my expectations.
And you are very talented and you have so much going for you. I really hope that this breakup resolves itself. I hope Ralphie gets well. I mean, your children deserve it. You deserve it. But in the meantime, you've got yourself on this new path and it's really exciting. And you are such a powerful woman, Lana, and you have a voice.
Thank you. Yeah, this has really been amazing for me. In the first week, the video got 25,000 hits.
Fantastic.
I'm so floored by that.
Wonderful.
I had no idea it was going to get that well received. And I mean, I want 14 million.
You're going to get it.
I mean, that's my goal. But I can't tell you, like, again, the road and the journey could never have happened without the explosion in my life. And it was probably a good thing. And I'm excited to see what other twists and turns come my way now, as opposed to just being paralyzed and terrified.
All right. Thank you so much again, Lana, for coming on Storyworthy and telling your story.
Thank you.
I got to wrap it up right about now. Thanks to everybody over at Wondery, including Hernan Lopez and Jeffrey Glazer. And one more shout out to my buddy, John Thomas Griffith, for the theme song to Storyworthy, Follow Me. John Thomas doesn't live in LA anymore, but I did get to play tennis with him last week, and yes, I won. Now, actually, I think we split sets. All right, you guys, one more time on behalf of Lana Turner.
Thank you.
Find her on Twitter at Lana Turner and at lanaturner.com. My name is Christine Blackburn saying, make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.